Welcome to Butterflies and Wisdom, everyone. Today, this morning, I have Michael with me. Michael is an intuitive healer, and so I'm going to let Michael explain more of what he does.
Well, thanks so much. I help heal family intergenerational, emotional, and spiritual wounds, thus transforming their pain and conflict into joy. And through our family healing ministry, the Family Center for the Sacred Heart, I do this through the intervention of the Holy Spirit through, number one, our Family Trailblazer program, a three-month renewable phone coaching program which helps the client manage their number one family healing priority, such as relationships, tough times, addiction, troubled teens, grief, so on and so forth. I also have a spiritual growth series called Be the Holy Child of God That You Are. It's in a face-to-face class format. It's also in a self-study format. And what this series does, it helps people determine God's life purpose for themselves and provides them with the power to carry that out. I also have some my books and my family healing tapes available on my website at www.myfamilyhealer.com under products, and I would hope people would welcome the opportunity to check that out.
So, okay. You don't know this, Michael, but my fan base does. I lost my biological mom when I was 23 years old. Of course, grief put the body into shock. I was in shock for about good 2 years. And
sure.
I wrote my first book, I Comma Win, in that state of shock. And, of course, I did it as grief therapy. So, basically, how does your process help with families who are grieving? And then we'll get into the rest of the processes.
Well, basically, it allows them, to honor the grief. Our culture is in a hurry up for people to get over grief. They feel that a person, if they're not over their grief in 2 or 3 weeks, then there's something wrong. Well, everyone grieves differently. It's all about dealing with loss. You go through some of the basic steps, the shock, the denial, pain, that kind of thing. So basically, I allow each of my clients to go through those various stages and allow them to have their own process, So we talk about it, we talk about steps about how to move it into different stages, but basically it's allowing each client to have their own grieving process and their own way through their natural healing.
So basically, it's healing the body naturally. And let's say a teen is acting out and is dissipating their past. Do you help the teen themselves, or do you help the whole family?
Well, I generally help the whole family. That's a good question. A lot of the teens acting now could be a mental health program. If I see that that's a problem with the mental health, I may refer them to a mental health specialist in that area. Okay, so what I have to determine is how the family perceives the problem, what they've done to date to try to solve the problem. And then depending upon the degree of the problem, basically understand all these issues, and then I would refer them to a specialist. Like if it was a drug or alcohol problem, I'd suggest maybe getting them into Narcotics Anonymous or AA or refer them to some treatment center. A lot of teen acting out often can be a byproduct of drug and alcohol abuse because the typical line between normal adolescent acting out and drug or alcohol addiction is this very thin line there, and most people are not able to discern the difference. We went through that with all three of our children, so that's how I got my knowledge. I was kind of the early warning system in the family.
I was just going to say, what made you go into this?
I'm sorry, what made me what?
I was just going to say, what made you go into the work you're doing now?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was because there are three core wounds in our culture. I call it SAM. It's like a SAM missile. It drops in the middle of the family and blows everything up. S stands for sexual abuse, A stands for addiction, and M stands for mental health issues. And our family has all three, so we hit the genetic jackpot. So God helped me draw a line. When our family fractured in 1990, God helped me draw a line in sand, which said, if I don't put a dent in this, at least right now, it's going to kill me and everything, everyone I care about, including myself, which was not an acceptable outcome. So through my own family's healing process, I take those same lessons and pass them on to other families.
Yeah, well I was not sexually abused at work. I was not sexually abused. I was emotionally abused at work, and my abuser is still around, and she won't admit to ever abusing me. She didn't. So, and now this is public knowledge. I wrote about my abuser in I Come a Win, my book, and my parents didn't even know that this woman was on antidepressants.
Right.
And the sex of the matter is dealing with a person on antidepressants isn't fun. And so how, as a community, should we deal with opioid addictions and antidepressants and people who are losing their minds, and without, other than sending them your way, Michael, how should we support this huge epidemic?
Well, what I did to get help for me, because what I've learned is you can set up healthy boundaries. I got help through Al-Anon, which is a support group for alcoholics and or relatives or friends of alcoholics or drug addicts. Okay, and what Al-Anon basically it's based on the 12 steps of AA, and basically it teaches you that the only life you can change is your own. That we're responsible for our own thoughts, feelings, and behavior, and we can be a strong role model for others. Also, in dealing with the addict, there are four don'ts that you don't do. Don't do it if you feel sorry for them. Don't do it if they don't ask. Don't do it if you don't want to. And don't do it if they can do it for themselves. So what you're trying to do is not enable them, okay? And with the mental health, it's kind of the same thing. And you also, if they're getting help from a doctor around that, you need to get some support from the doctor who is actually physically dealing with that with the medication. So, any support you can get in that area is helpful. But I think the main thing is to strengthen yourself and give whatever support to the loved one that you can, as long as you're not enabling their illness, which means taking away the negative consequences of their poor choices. Because when you do that, you're making your life miserable, and you're actually feeding the illness.
Yeah.
It's only the person's pain of what they're doing, either through their mental illness or addiction, their poor choices through that. It's when the pain of that is worse than their fear of getting help, that's when you can kind of turn the tide there. And also, a lot of it has to do with, as you well know, divine intervention. I like to say we do the loving and God does the healing. So.
Okay. I love that term. And I know my abuser was, I actually was emotionally abused by two people. And one was a priest who emotionally abused several women, including myself. And one was my boss at the time. Not my boss anymore, thank God. And these two people didn't want help. I think I know that the priest was so sick with a brain aneurysm that brain cancer, or brain aneurysm, I can't remember, that the stuff that was coming out of his mouth was unbelievable, and the Catholic Church turned on me, basically. Yeah. The Catholic, when I needed them, they turned on me.
Yeah, they abandoned you. So that was another form of abuse. Then.
Yeah, they abandoned me, basically. So I have never been abused inside the home. It's been always outside the home, and it's always been emotionally abused. And it's always been emotionally abused. One of my abusers has now passed away, and the other one still looks around in my life, and everyone that knows me and knows her runs the other direction, because during that time she was emotionally abusing me, her daughter was actually sleeping under the bridge with a homeless man, and she just, my boss let that one slide, believe it or not. And I said to her one day, I said, "Do you really want to go find your daughter?" And she goes, "No, I don't care." And I'm like, "Really?" That's when I knew that she had lost her mind. So when we support these people, Michael, who lose their minds or about to lose their minds, I guess we can't force them in to help.
No, you often can't unless they have a criminal, unless they're developing a criminal record, okay? Sometimes you can use that as a way of them getting help. You have a choice. You can either go to jail or you can get into treatment. And often people, a number of my friends have found recovery in jail, you know. So jail is not a dead end. You know, sometimes you have to, people often have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of their current life situation in order to begin the change, you know. No, again, as you said, you can't force other people to change, and a lot of them don't know that they need help, you know, just because of denial, you know. And that keeps them stuck. Yeah, the three steps you go through, I call it the three A's of solving any life problem. So the first A is awareness, the second A is acceptance, and the third A is action. Okay, you know, awareness, maybe I have a problem, acceptance, yes, I do, action, now what do I do about it? But people often get stuck in the action step because of fear. You know, they're afraid, oh, it may get worse, so what if I make a mistake, what will my friends think, what will my family think, you know. So fear keeps many people from reaching out for and accepting help.
Which is sad.
Huh? Well, it is, but it's very prevalent. Well, the popular culture teaches people if you have any problems, then you're failing. Well, that's ridiculous. All families are wounded, you know. It depends upon the degree, and everyone has problems. So it's a lot healthier to confront the problem, but... there's an acronym for ego, you know, edging God out. You know, it's like the ego gets in the way, but you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. So that's why you need outside
help. No, you can't.
Right.
And so what is your biggest entrepreneurial moment in all this? What is your biggest success story?
Well, I would say it's the continued emotional and spiritual healing of my family from 1985 to the present. There was a time I didn't think any of us would survive our crises through the years, but thanks to God's ever-present grace and unconditional love, God's best days are ahead of us, and I could make that same healing promise to my clients or anyone interested in getting support from me, as long as I dutifully do God's daily healing footwork. Family healing is a lifelong process, not a one-time event.
No, family healing and higher powers are not a one-time event. I can attest to that.
It's an everyday event, right?
It's an every single day event. No, for those of you that don't know, I have, on top of losing my mom and being emotionally abused by my boss and by a priest, I have a physical disability. So basically, I have been on death's door over 100 times, believe it or not. And the last time I was fearfully on death's door was in 2006, and I lost my capability to walk. They let my spine goes in, and lovely, all that lovely stuff. So without a higher power's intervention and without God's divine healing, I would be a mess. I would literally be a mess.
Oh, yes. No, I had a near-death experience in 2006 myself, so. Yep, so.
Having that near-death experience changes you forever.
Yes. Well, I know how precious life is and how fragile it is.
Yeah. So if you had to be educated by anyone inside or outside your field, who would it be and why?
Oh, it would be Jesus and Abraham Lincoln. Jesus because I'm a Christian, I think he would have a lot to teach me in terms of my spiritual walk, about learning to be more patient and forgiving. Abraham Lincoln, because I think he was our greatest president, and he overcame a lot of personal tragedy, including the loss of his children, his mother at a young age, his wife having very serious mental illness. In spite of all that, he was able to save the nation. So,
Well, now I'll say this smiley, the buffoon we have in office is trying to kill the nation. And I say that wholeheartedly. He's trying to kill the nation and not do enough with opioid addiction, and trying to kill me in the process because he is pulling Obamacare. And people know that I'm on Obamacare, and people know that I have a physical disability, and he's trying to kill me. And so the fact that you said Abraham Lincoln, I find that fascinating.
Well, I just have a lot of respect for the man, and I think he was, again, as I said, he overcame a lot of obstacles. I mean, there was a time during the Civil War, things looked very dark, and he had a lot of enemies, who made a lot of personal attacks on him, and he said, I think he had a philosophy that, about turning enemies into friends, I think one of his greatest enemies, I forget his position in the cabinet, but he said at Lincoln's deathbed something along the lines of, and he's not with the ages, you know. So he went from being a very bitter foe to, you know, someone who greatly admired him. So.
Well, that's great to greatly admire him from being one of your enemies. And before I let you go, Michael, I want you to ask me a couple questions about anything that you might be curious about me.
Well, could you tell me a little bit about your work, particularly with the disabled?
Oh, okay. My work with the disabled. Well, my work with the disabled, because I am disabled, so it's a very fine line, even though I have a brain that actually functions normally, even though it has cerebral palsy too. It's been rewired over the years, and I got interventions day one of my diagnosis back in June 23rd, 87, or maybe later in the afternoon on June 22nd. I got major interventions starting on June 23rd or June 22nd. They can't tell me that. But my work with the disabled is simple. I try to teach the disabled to the best of my abilities to quit being lazy and to quit thinking they're dumb and to quit having the poor, pitiful me parties. Woe is me, I have a disability, I can't do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's...
It's getting out of the
that's
pity
my, yeah. That's my work with the disabled. Teaching them how to get out of the pity parties. And it's a slow and a long process, Michael.
Oh,
it's
sure
a
it is.
Slow
yeah.
and long process. I didn't think I was going to be in this. I didn't think I was going to be in this journalism field / disabled advocacy field. I didn't know. I didn't think I was living my life up until 23 years old. Fast and furious win, and not even thinking about stopping and smelling the roses until August 11th, 2010, that week of August 11th, when my mom was put in medically induced coma after being diagnosed with viral meningitis. Thank you very much. The hospital gave her that. And it was one of those moments that God said to me, you need to write a book and you need to do this. Otherwise, you're going to basically drown in your own grief or something dramatic is going to happen. And that's when I decided to ask my mom in the medically induced coma if I could write on come a winner. And of course she said yes. And she also said, don't spill too many family secrets. I do it gracefully. So that's what I did.
Of course you did.
That's what I did. My work now is a little bit more provocative. But I try to write my books from the disabled point of view. And so where can everyone find your books and find you, Michael? And if they want to get a private coaching session with you, where can everyone find you? And I know you do in-person sessions, but do you also do it by Skype? How does that work?
Yes, I have that three-month family healing coaching program, the Family Trailblazer program. I also have that Be the Holy Child of God self-study program, or you can Well, the three ways you can contact me, either through my website at www.myfamilyhealer.com, and you can look for my products and my books and telesummit tapes there, or also you can look for my classes just to get an idea of them under services and classes. Or you can email me at patriarch, that's P-A-T-R-I-A-R-C-H, at woh.or.com. And my phone number is 937-435-8468. So, you know, to request any and all services, you can also, you know, email me or call me, and I'll be happy to support you in that.
I know you will. And we'll have Michael's information in the show notes, you guys, and please, 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 if you're in a state of addiction, please accept the fact and then get help, because I don't want you guys to be listening to this podcast and say, I'm in that state, I don't know, I'm going to help, I'm fine. Trust me, I did that for 2 years, dealing with my own belief, and that's a whole other podcast in itself, and it's like, you're not fine. How are you going to get over the grief? How are you going to get over the addiction if you don't accept help? And that's my PSA for today, and I'm sure Michael would back me up on that PSA, but at the same time, Michael and I can't convince you guys to get help. None of your family members could convince you to get help either. So it's a fine line. But if you want to do it secretly, let me know. I'm here to support you. Michael's here to support you. We're all here to support you within the Butterflies of Wisdom community. And just reach out and say, anonymous, I am dealing with this. Can you help me? And I will try to the best of my abilities to tap my network and see what I can do to help you, or give you the steps to write a book, or give you the steps to start a journal, because that always helps. And just accept the fact that you have a problem. And as Michael and I said, you need to accept the facts, then move into the process of dealing with it.
Right, move into positive action. Yeah, because you're
move into positive action.
Yeah, I like to say, what I do is I help people take that. I kind of reach across the river and take their hand and say, let me help you take the first step onto God's healing path, okay? Because the first, as you well know, when the first step is always the most difficult, because that's where the fear is the greatest.
Yeah.
And courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is fear that said it's prayers. It's feeling the fear and taking that first courageous step anyway. And both Wynn and I are here to help you do that.
Yes, we are. And it's okay to ask for help. People ask me this all the time, Michael. They say, why are you so good at asking for help? Why are you so good at doing this podcast? Why are you so good at doing this? It's because I ask for help. And help, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign that you're strong and you need help. We all need help. Disabled or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all, we're not a rock, we're not an island. We need each other to get through life. You know, that's why.
Exactly.
And exactly, God,
you guys.
And God loves us just as we are. I like to say he loves me the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know.
Yeah, basically he loves me the good, bad, and the ugly. So, you guys, Michael and I are here to help. This podcast is here to help. So, please, 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 please reach out to either one of us if you need help. And we'll tap our networks to help you guys, and I appreciate Michael's time this morning. This podcast is sponsored by Grace by Glit. Grace by Glit is a clothing line out of San Diego, California, and they are giving you 20% off when you type in the code EXOBUTTERFLIES at checkout. And more information can be found in the show notes. Also, you guys, I want you guys to start thinking about donating to the Bleeding Bionics Foundation. You guys know I'm a big fan of theirs. I am a huge supporter of adaptive technology, including the EXO. And this is a self-funded program, and this would be great if you would donate and put the check in my name in honor of WIN, W-I-N. So, and the Bridging Bionics Foundation likes checks more than PayPal because they get 100% of the donation. And you can always email Amanda at AmandaBox@ the Bridging Bionics Foundation. And as you guys know, if you scroll to the bottom of my show notes, that information can be found in the show notes. I'll actually put that information in the top of the show notes so that we can start donating to these wonderful nonprofits. And, Michael, if people wanted to donate to you guys, how would they do that?
Well, they can go to the first page of my website at www.myfamilyhealer.com, and there's a donate button in the lower right-hand corner of the first page of the website, and that'll easily help them make that a very valuable donation. I appreciate that question.
Well, to keep you guys running, because I presume working with a higher power and working with all these people doesn't keep the lights on unless we keep donating. Geez, it doesn't keep the lights on.
No, it's
no, it doesn't keep lights on, and I think the work you're doing, Michael, is fantastic. And if you guys want to simply donate to the podcast, you can donate to Aspen Rose Arts via email, via PayPal, via email too. And then that information can be found in the show notes. Aspen, A-S-P-E-N, Rose, O-S-E, Arts, A-L-T-S, @gmail.com. And that's via PayPal. And we are here to support you. And I appreciate you guys listening and supporting this podcast as much as you do. Please share this episode out with a friend. And let's make the Butterflies of Wisdom community begin. Strongest thanks to you guys. Bye.
Hello?